Yes. Morning, friends. How's everyone doing? Ooh. Hallelujah. How many are excited and happy to be here this morning?
So
this is Healing Class, House on the Rock
excited.
Church.
Thank you.
Yes.
God is in this place.
Amen.
Amen. I want to encourage us as we start off, just to, as a reminder, to always have at the back of our minds, with all that Lord is working in and by His power here at Hot Rock, to the testimony forms. Let's keep utilizing those. You know, let's, you know, because here's what happens. I hear awesome reports and powerful testimonies, and we don't get them documented. You know, so it's important. It doesn't matter whether you think it's something, you know, not so huge or not so big, or you think it's something grand. It doesn't matter what on the spectrum what it is.
That's right.
Has the power of God affected something in your life? Have you? Yes. Is there a manifestation as it concerns healing? Mm-hmm. Then you want to share it with your brothers and sisters. You want to encourage them. You want to give glory to God, bless His holy name, magnify His holy name, and acknowledge His goodness and all that He's working in power. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Went and taught. All right, I'm going to start off with a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I just acknowledge your presence in this room, in this place this morning. We give this time to you, Lord. Our hearts centered on you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just delve into your word and mine the unsearchable riches therein, which you've chosen to reveal and open up to us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the truth concerning healing and health, walking in divine health.
Yes.
Made sure ours to richly enjoy. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to truly get it.
Thank you,
Father, for removing all inhibitions, things which may serve as obstructions in our hearts and our minds and our thinking and our perceptions, Lord. All those placed aside so that we can just truly receive of the fullness that we have in you. Thank you, Father, for manifestation in this place this morning. Thank you, Lord, for situations changed permanently by your palm, by your might, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Give you praise, Lord, for the testimonies which result and redound to your holy name. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Teresa, yes.
I just want to speak to you that the Lord has put in your heart dynamite, that there's dynamite placed in your heart and it's going to come out of your mouth.
Amen.
And the power of God is going to come out every time you speak. Dynamite explosions.
Amen.
The aftershocks will be felt for miles, for generations.
Amen.
For
Amen.
People born and unborn.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I proclaim that
Amen.
To you. And I say that to you. Dunamis power is upon you, my son.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And may it be so.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus saying, yes, it is.
As we continue on this morning, I just want us to have that realization and understanding that God is here. And in saying that, I'm not saying that lightly. And I'm talking about His tangible presence. And so for the things we're about to discuss, as we speak, as we share here this morning, I want us to have that consciousness that He's here.
Yes.
Okay? Now, here's what I'm going to say. It's not a secret meaning, but I just, this session, I want to tag generally real talk. Okay? Real talk. Okay? The title specifically will be Heart in the Word. Heart in the Word. You know, and I want to also, you know,
heart.
Okay. That is a heart in the Word. As we just allow others to, you know, come in and then just settle. I'm grateful for those who have taken that time and their gifting, you know, to minister and to share, you know, with us in the past couple of weeks.
Thank you.
You know, Joanne in speaking about and teaching about act naturally.
Mm-hmm.
According as the divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us unto glory and virtue. And not just that, we're now partakers of what? God's divine nature. You know, and it's important to get a whole grasp of that. If you can understand that you're a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, that's something that happened to you when you got saved, when you got into living relationship with Christ. And that's yours, and no one, no entity is able to take that from you, snatch that from you. That's who you are. You are a partaker. Say, I am.
I am.
A partaker.
A partaker.
Of the divine nature.
Of the divine nature.
I am.
I am.
A partaker.
A partaker.
Of the divine nature.
Of the divine nature.
No sickness, no disease, no infirmity has an abiding place in my body, which is God's temple.
Amen.
Has an abiding place or a hiding spot.
That's right.
In any spot, any crevice in your body, in your mind, in your conception, your thinking. Okay? No continuing city in your body, which is God's temple.
Amen. That's right.
Because you are the habitation of God by His Spirit.
Yes.
God's temple.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 And someone's asking, 1 Corinthians 6:19, you can put that down as far as being a temple. And I'm not bashful to repeat, to go over and over the self same things from God's word to establish us in the faith as we have been taught so that we can abound therein with thanksgiving. It's important.
Amen.
Divine nature. That alone, I'm just like, I'm set. If you know who you, if you realize, recognize, appreciate who you are.
Yes. Yes.
And being a partaker of His nature and what that does as it concerns your state,
yes,
your body, your mind, your thinking. It's awesome. And also then last week as well, talked about the importance of being in the Word as Word enforcement agents.
Amen.
From the former.
That's good.
You know, that's the way I, that's how I, you know, that's the phraseology she conveyed to me, and that's what I just ran with, you know, in spite of her specific title, but it was awesome. It was a great time, you know, because, you know, it's important how to enforce the word.
Amen.
The authority with that, the power that goes with that, and all that, it's incredible. I just want to, you know, thank them for that. And so today, heart in the word. I want to start off with questions. Remember, I said it's real talk, and let's just be open. And, you know, you don't have to share what you don't want to or not, are not led to. But it's important for us to get real on some of these matters. Okay? Is there anyone here that has a concern as it concerns health in the area of believing for, expecting manifestation? Anyone here? Just lift your right hand at this point. Thank you. I want you to consider or think about that matter for a few seconds here. And then I want to ask, you don't have to answer, how long has that situation been? How long has that condition been attached or plagued you, possibly, feasibly? How long has that been? What's the tenor?
Lifetime. 20 years.
20 years. So, for those who've responded and those who haven't verbally responded, but there are challenges which we have in that aspect as it concerns healing and walking in divine health. How have we dealt with that? How have we dealt? All right, how have you been dealing? Let me phrase it another way. How have you been dealing with that? Because that's a long, that seems, whether it's a lifetime, 20 years, 12 years, there's so many instances from God's word that we see that we've brought up in healing class severally. Have you been dealing with that?
Well, in a negative way, not really knowing what I'm dealing with, the illness has just progressively brought me into through depression.
Depression.
Just deeper and deeper depression, hopelessness, and not thinking that, thinking that it was a part of me. And that there was no way out.
Hopelessness.
And it would get worse.
Depression and the expectation that it would get worse.
Because it was getting worse. So how could it not continue to keep getting worse?
Yeah, because of the progression over time and things that have been barraging our bodies, thinking that, oh, this is only trending in one direction, so that's the way it's just going to continue.
Job loss.
Job loss and so many other things attached that would go with that. Okay. Anyone? Yes, Teresa.
Speaking the word of the Lord over the condition, regardless of abating or non-abating symptoms.
Speaking the word of God over the condition or situation, regardless of the situation, whether it's abating or not, whether it's getting less or not.
Or worse.
Or worse. Yes. Thank you. Todd. And I'll be back to you guys. Yes.
Confessing your tithing rights over the situation.
Confessing tithing rights over the situation?
Yep.
Okay, as it concerns, where does that spring from? What would you...
You know, like, if you're dealing with something, because we're tithers, we have tithing rights. And I declare my tithing rights... my healing manifestations
in
my body.
Okay. And so there can be a stretch with that to say, okay, if those rights, I mean, what I'm saying is that conception or that resolve in your heart, where does that spring from? What's it attached to? Where'd you get that from as far as conviction?
God's word.
Okay. So I was going to circle back. Now.
Kim. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
I got stuck. You were busy. Promises.
Which is good. God's word.
Yes.
Kim.
Yes.
With what you've so far heard and what you're coming into, what's forming your stance right now as it concerns the condition?
Well, I believe I'm healed. And I can see in the last few weeks, good days have been really good. And I can see that I'm on the other side. I can see that what I believe about God's promise is starting to take hold in my life.
Hallelujah.
And I'm running with that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Kim. Yes, Suzanne.
Yesterday at the grocery store.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, Suzanne.
Good thing.
Save the money. Run with that, sister.
Yeah.
So I was just going to say, I feel like I've kind of made a shift lately, maybe in the last, I don't know, year. It's been a shift from, because I really understood authority and power. So I'd be speaking and commanding, you be healed, which is wonderful. I think that's part of the understanding is authority and the power that we have. But I've made a shift into... No, I have been healed.
Amen.
And that has made all the difference because I'm not striving for it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I know that it's mine. I know that I've been healed. And then the scripture that has been really powerful for me is, I have been born again of incorruptible seed.
Hallelujah.
This corruption is not coming on my body.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
It's been really helpful. It's been a shift to,
mm-hmm.
I'm not waiting for my healing. I'm not reaching for it, but I've been healed.
Hallelujah.
And it's a settling. It just settles my spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne, for sharing that.
And also for me, calling it out. Calling it out has helped me face my fears and actually identify what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think it was this, and it was that, and it was this, but it's all related. And so that's kind of, in a funny way, it's kind of a relief, but it actually helps me give testimony.
Mm.
So by calling it out, I'm dealing with it, I'm facing that fear, and the fear is disappearing.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In God's nature.
Amen. Hallelujah. Conviction based on God's nature. Todd, you had something just before we get into work here.
Power in words.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, when you're you're speaking your words, speak past tense. Like Suzanne was saying, it's done. I always speak past tense. Like it's happened.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at a portion of scripture we know well. Just going to look at one or two things in there and then just get in this world. Thank you so much for sharing.
Amen.
All who have shared and what's going on. There's a result. There's a common theme based on what everyone said, which is what we're going to look at here. Mark 11. 22 and 23. What does it say? So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. It's important to know that. We'll see why shortly. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be what? Cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. But believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says.
Yes.
He will do what? Have whatever he says.
Yes.
So, that portion of scripture says whoever says. So to implicate what Todd mentioned earlier, we have to do what?
Say.
We have to say, we have to speak, we have
yes.
to pronounce, we have to command.
Yes.
Issue an imperative to that situation, to that circumstance, to that disease, to that ailment, to that thing affecting or afflicting one's mind. Someone talked about whether it's depression or fatigue or exhaustion or having a foggy mind. And I'm talking about some things that you can't necessarily readily put a name tag to it, but that still afflict and that still what? Ails people, affects people. And does not doubt in his heart. What does the word doubt mean? I know we throw it out. Doubt. What does it mean though?
Question.
Because friends, it looks to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it looks to me that from this portion of scripture, if there's something that can shortchange you, if there's something that can truncate that which is yours as far as you getting to see a manifestation, if there's something that can cause a short circuit, so to speak, if we think about empower terms or whatnot, that D word, it says, and does, that says, you issue, and does not doubt where?
In his heart.
Teresa, you had something.
Well, a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. Quote, some doubt has been cast upon the authenticity of this account. So, uncertainty and lack of conviction.
A feeling of doubt or uncertainty. Thank you so much for that definition. But, friends, here's what I'm saying. Is today the first time we've heard about doubt? In relation to, example, faith or believing? Is it the first time? Okay, so now what I want to hear is the practical, as far as you know it, based on who you are, your mind, and your heart, what does doubt mean? What does it implicate when, okay, here we've taught 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, what? We were healed. And the reason that is, we were healed, and so because we were healed, we are healed. So whether you take the proposition Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, or you take proposition, which is God's word, which is truth, let's not get it mixed or twisted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins upon his body upon the tree, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, is by whose stripes we were healed, were the past tense reality of God's word, which we teach constantly here, we ought to wholly, fully accept as true, receive in our hearts, and cause to be anchored in there. In the midst of all of that, based on what we see, what we feel, or what the reports are, or things that we've been challenged with over time, 10 years, 20 years, lifetime. What does doubt mean? Because we have to know what this is all about.
Not sure.
Not believing.
Double-minded.
Did God really say? Right. Just like that serpent in the beginning.
Yeah.
Did God really say?
You know what, friends? And we're about to see this almost. I very much hope we have time. I like that. Doesn't that phraseology capture the heart of Romans 4 from 18 through 22 about Abraham that he did not doubtingly question?
Yes.
He was fully persuaded in his heart. He did not doubtingly question. So Suzanne, when you said, oh, did God really say? Is it really done?
Yeah.
Are you really healed? Like in the eyeball, let me phrase it this way, eyeball to eyeball.
Okay. Right.
And the blue eye encounter, Mary.
Yeah.
Are you really healed?
Yeah.
And guess what? It's not someone that comes to ask you that question. It's right. The pains and the pang.
Yes.
Is the reality of life, so to speak, that asks the question. Because I'm not going to knock on your door in the middle of the night when there's pain racking your body, whether it's your hand, your feet, your knees, your ankle, or your chest, to say, hey, do you really believe?
It's the pain that asks the question.
The situation and circumstances, the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs of life, the challenges as it concerns ailments and infirmities and things of that nature, ask the question. So it's important to know what doubt is, if it's constituting a hindrance, and how to overcome that. Amen. Doubt. We were on doubt. Thank you for all those definitions. Doubtingly question. You mentioned not believing or unbelief. How did you phrase it, sir? How did you phrase it a moment ago? I missed it.
Not believing.
Not believing.
Lack of revelation.
Lack of revelation.
That's it.
I heard it said undecided.
Yes.
Undecided. So you're prevaricating. You're just not sure. Is it really?
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. When we're undecided, is the question really, is it really true or do I really believe it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Have I really accepted it?
Yeah.
Have I really taken ownership of this?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Does that sound familiar? To say, oh, is this done? Am I healed? And it's important to know where all of this takes place.
Mm-hmm.
In the heart.
Yeah.
And there's a question I usually ask here at healing class. What is in your heart?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's in your heart? I know I jokingly said in the past, well, what's in your wallet, just to be able to segue.
Right.
Someone thought that as well. But so it's not so much about what's in your wallet. Because guess what, friends? And I may as well say this. Sometimes your wallet is not able to remedy some of the things that ail in this lifetime.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not all about that. What's in your heart? Sir?
Yeah.
Real talk.
I'm in pain right now.
Hmm.
All day long, I feel the pain from the arthritis. But see, I keep claiming that I have arthritis. I was doing that to you 2 weeks ago. And I realized I was naming and claiming that I have arthritis because I'm always telling people. And I repeat it. And I keep repeating it over and over and over instead of saying that I'm healed.
Mm-hmm.
I hear everybody talking, but I'm justifying the other.
Amen. Amen. You know, friends, you know, sometimes, we'll look at this, how this plays out, God's word. Remember, sometimes I will say, it's my migraines.
Yeah.
It's my heel issue, my injury.
Yeah.
It's my, why do I, my...
My arthritis.
Yeah.
So you've taken ownership. It now forms part of your identity,
mm-hmm.
contrary or outside of what God's word reveals. Here's what doubt means from the Greek definition. It says to be, doubt means to be at variance with one's self. To doubt. To be at variance with one's self. So, if your true identity is that you are a partaker of the divine nature, and that God dwells in your body, which is His temple, by His Spirit, but some way, somehow, by whatever, engagement you've had in your heart and with your heart, you're in that place where you've taken what the world defines or says about you, or what feelings and sensory perception says or speaks about you. There's a variance there. Guess what happens with that variance?
It divides you.
It divides you. We can talk about being double-minded. And as far as in the area of manifesting that which is yours, which you have on the inside, what do you think it does?
It overpowers what
you're inside. And put it in simple terms, it steals from us, friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I talked about it as a short circuit because, hey, I'm supposed to be brimming and flowing in life. My body's supposed to be, you know, healthy and full of life. And anything that's negative is supposed to just die to death on instant contact. Or if it's been there, then it needs to die the death based on who I am now in Christ and what he did on the cross. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? What did he bear?
Our sins.
And so with the sin as the root, all sins, I mean sicknesses, disease, infirmities, and all of that, our pains, our pangs. And we've gone over this, covered much ground on this from Isaiah 53 in the past. To be at variance with one's self. That doesn't aid in any way. It's important to accept God's word as truth and trust without reserve God's word. The way not to be at variance, friends, is to... Here's a little thing before we move on from this. As it concerns mountain and speaking to the mountain, remember that first prong in verse 22. What does it say? Mark 11. What does it say? So, friends, here's what I just want to say as a tip in going forward. Practical. When you are addressing the mountain, do me a favor. Hear me clearly as I speak this morning. When you are addressing the mountain in your life, we're talking about healing and health now, health situation, health condition, whatever it is. When you are addressing the mountain, your heart, I'm going to try and say this as best as I can, your heart is not to be vested in the mountain itself. As you're addressing the mountain, your heart is supposed to be vested in who? In God. It says, have faith in God. Why faith is crucial, why faith is important, is the object of that faith. Sometimes in trying to move a mountain, I'm trying to, using myself as an example now, just loosely speaking, I'm trying to conjure, I'm addressing this mountain, and I'm thinking, okay, summoning all that I have, power, okay, divine nature and all of that, you know, I have his spirit, I have his power, I have his life, and I'm addressing the mountain, and my focus is on the mountain, looking for a shift, looking for a change, looking for some dynamic activity in the mountain, but in that whole process, my heart, my vesting is to be focused, is to be on God.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen.
Who fully equipped me and equips me.
Yes.
Why? Because guess where he has residence in?
In me.
God lives in you.
That's right. 24/7.
But the thing itself grabs us so much. And we're in that fight. And that fight, that battle takes so long because, I just want to see a change in this thing. Mm-hmm. But it says, have faith in God. Mm-hmm. I have faith in God. I trust in his divine ability. Did someone mention dunamis earlier on? Dunamis power.
Yeah, God mentioned it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But my reliance is on him because I know that he's trustworthy. I know what he has spoken concerning me. And I take that as truth. And all I'm doing is effectuating that by my what? Speaking. Mm-hmm. Out of the abundance of the heart. Guess what? The mouth speaks. I think that's Luke 6:45, the latter part portion. Yes, Lucy, go ahead, please.
Sometimes I think we feel as though it's our faith that's doing it. And then we have condemnation. We think, there's something wrong with me because I don't see results. But our faith is in God, his perfection, his word, his love for us. It's like trusting him. He's going to do it. I can't do it on my own self.
Hallelujah. Trusting in God, His person, His power, His presence in your life and in that situation and circumstance. Okay? And that's neat. You know, sometimes we put the onus on us. And when you place the onus on you, guess what's liable to happen? You talk about condemnation. There are other things that can seep in based on sight or seen or what results, what happens, what transpires in that transaction. Todd?
Yeah, like what she was saying, yeah, we need to trust in God with our whole heart. And our job is we, God is in us, and we are God's voice box. So we speak what God says over our bodies.
Hallelujah.
We trust God that it's done.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, how do we... Yes?
Oh, yeah. It's like I'm agreeing with God. He's already said the yes, and I just say the amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He made it possible. He made a way. He conquered it. He defeated it.
Hallelujah.
And he says it's mine, and I just say yes, thank you, and I agree with him.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Teresa.
I'm trusting that you meant it when you said real talk, because my question
yes.
is this.
Mm-hmm.
Length of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about faith and doubt, and that doubt can be a short circuit. What if you're doing your best of your ability to say the word, believe the word in your heart, symptoms remain,
mm-hmm.
pain remains,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have
and
just
frustration there.
And I have
so,
one. And
you know what that says? That says, I'm not getting it right. There's a short circuit, and then it puts it back on you. So that's a piece that is very frustrating, and it drives me to tears.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen.
So
you know what? I was going to respond to that about 10 past, but I might as well just do this now, okay? Because I said it's real talk. Here's the word to you. You've talked about length of time. And here's what I'll say in that regard. The bottom line of all we've been saying today is this. All the good, great responses that we've gotten as far as, I'll stand on the word and all of that. Oh, I'm getting the word. Is still completely, totally, consistently giving yourself to the Lord in love and relationship. We talked about trust. How does trust come about? The place of intimacy,
yeah.
The place of oneness with the Lord, the place of fellowship, the place of praise and thanksgiving with Him. Communion, essentially. That's something that we can't lose. That's something we can't give up on. That's something. Here's what I'm trying to say. Why do we get in the Word? Okay, I'll tell you something about what the word, what Bible reveals the word is in the, within the context of what we're talking about today, and then I'll zero in on that question. A portion of scripture we know well. Remember, I already mentioned Abraham, no need to talk about him. From Romans 4, you can put that down from 17 to about 22. He didn't doubtingly question. Look at the phraseology. 18, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. No reason for hope. Hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations. 19, he says he didn't weaken in faith, nor did he consider the utter impotence of his body or that of his wife, who was, you know, no unbelief or distrust made him waver or undoubtedly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So that nexus, that propinquity or nearness in relationship, which is what that is, nearness in relationship with God did not abate. So while you're going through, in quote, the storm, or while you're going through the challenge or whatever it is, the nearness in relationship should be your zone, should be, that's something you can't choose, you cannot afford to relent on or in. But remember, it says, who comes to him must believe that he is, and he's what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek the things.
That seek him.
Yeah.
So all through all of that, that's Hebrews 11. Now, all of that has to, God still has to be your focus, your all in all in relationship. Okay, so it says the fully satisfied And I showed that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. So it's still about God, okay? What's conviction? Let's look at that scripture, Proverbs 4. I mentioned a scripture I wanted us to take a look at. We know it well. Why get in the word? Remember I asked what's in your heart, right? Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22. My son, give attendance to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. From the message, it reads, dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul, they're bursting with health. As it concerns God's word. Body and soul, they're bursting with health. The Passion puts it this way. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. And there's notation for that. That is your heart, your mind, okay? Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. Now, the word find is interesting, and I think it's the core in that portion of scripture. It says, verse 21, pay attention from 20, 21, do not let them depart from where your eyes. So all the gateways, friends, are very important. What are the gateways in taking on the word?
Your eyes.
Your ears. And then your mouth, by implication, your tongue. Because you can't allow your tongue to speak deceit or to speak something that is contrary or at variance with who you are and all that has been done for you, which you have to take as truth. Okay? All right. It says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? Your heart. For they are life to those who find them. Now that word find, before I give a definition for that from the originals, the word find, clearly implicated there, derives from, when it says keep them in the midst of your heart, it means that, it goes on to define or express or explain further, it says for they are life to those who find them. The finding them means that as it concerns your heart, the word has done what? Has taken residence there. Is rooted and grounded there in your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The word is what matzah in the Hebrew. It means to find, to secure, to get the thing sought. But more importantly, it also means encounter. Encounter. So, you, me, we have got to encounter the word. And the way to encounter the word, the way to have an encounter with the word, is to engage. Engage the word. Engage God's word. Ronnie talked about revelation. How does that come? How does revelation come? How does insight come?
Meditate on the word.
By meditating on God's word. Mm-hmm. By giving yourself wholly, completely, as 1 Timothy 4:15 puts it. 1 Timothy 4:15 puts it.
The Holy Spirit gives us revelation as we meditate. He will give us the truth of that word, that meditation. Mm-hmm. Our revelation, things we didn't know.
Hallelujah. Doris, thank you, Ron.
That's what I like. I like that Gloria Copeland says, the word of God is medicine. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
So she says, take it twice a day. And if the condition gets worse or stands, double up on it.
Yeah.
And it's plain and simple.
Hallelujah.
And I like when what really gave me a revelation was Andrew said, if you're healed, act like you're healed. I walked out of things that I got prayer for once, and I walked away from it and realized, oh, wow, that pain is gone.
Hallelujah.
That whatever it was, it's gone. It's no longer there.
Hallelujah.
You know? Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Pat.
I just want to encourage Teresa that when you get into the Word, it contains God's faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that helps you. It helps push out the doubt and disbelief. Mm-hmm. Because when you are reading His Word, He is imparting His faith to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It's just like you didn't get saved without His faith. Mm-hmm. It's the same principle.
Hallelujah. Informa.
Yeah, in actually supporting the scripture that Pastor Shem had just given us in Proverbs chapter 4. In fact, I love the different versions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At the conference, City Quay, there was a lady who was brought to, because we had a house on the Rock Lane, you know, we occupied two rows of chairs, you know. And then this lady brought her and said, she was crying because the speaker had finished speaking and had prayed for those who had pain. And she denied the fact that she had pain. And then she had this condemnation in her heart because the pain kind of, you know, got worse. And we prayed for her. Brother Blake, Sister Blake, all of us were there, you know. We all joined our hand to pray for her initially. I said, okay, in a scale of 1 to 10, tell us how, you know, how was the pain before, how is it now? She said the same. We said, okay, we'll pray again because you're not living here today with the pain, you know. To cut the long story short, she said at a certain point, my brain is blocking it, you know. I said, okay, the problem is with your mind. Let's pray for your mind. Let's pray for your heart to be open to the Word of God. And we lay hands on her head and prayed. And it was like instant.
Praise God.
And she said, the pain is all gone.
Praise God.
I mean, you saw her countenance before, you know, and
changed.
Her countenance afterwards. But she was able to recognize that the problem was coming from her mind, you know, that she was blocking it somehow.
The variance.
And the moment her focus was on her mind now, in receiving the Word in her mind,
hallelujah.
That Word did what the Word does.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Here's the encouragement I'm going to leave us with from John chapter 8, verse 32. And next week, I'm going to, as led of the Spirit, go into Romans 8:11. There's a passage in there. I know a lot of people argue, oh, this is not about healing or whatnot. I'll share my testimony and tell you how that, you know, we're going to continue real talk next week, you know, and we're going to look at scriptures that what's in our heart, talk about this, and then I'm going to show a parallel as well. Some people think, oh, does it have to do with healing alone or as far as the word that you're speaking? Guess what? It's the whole of God's word.
Yeah.
Philippians 4, it says, it's quick and is what?
Powerful.
That's right.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
So regardless, it's God's word. It says, if you are my disciples, Jesus said to those Jews who believe in him, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, if you remain in my word, if you continue in my word, says you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. You will know the truth as you engage the word, as you encounter the word, as you get revelation, as by the Holy Ghost, as by the Holy Spirit. This, there's like a, what's the word to use now? A rejuvenating, a renewing, a refreshing from the inside out. I'm going to show how the Holy Ghost does this and what he utilizes. Who wants a key? Who wants a trick? What do you call that thing when you're given an answer? You know, Ephesians 5. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 25, 26 as your assignment, and we'll continue next week. God's word is important. God's word is potent. God's word is powerful. God's word is effective. And that's why we have to give our hearts over in meditation. 1 Timothy 4, 15.
Yes.
In just soaking, just remaining.
That's right.
In there, without fail, in loving relationship with God, not as a duty or something I have to check off that say, oh, I read two pages of the Bible, so I'm good for the day, good for the week.
Right.
No, but because I love him and I'm in relationship.
But that's why he said, if you remain in my word, abide in my word, and my word abide in you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But what does it also say? It will make you free.
That means
each little step, like when he realized what he was saying about, that's a step. Mm-hmm. That's he's making you free. And it's each little steps. And the more you abide in the word.
Yeah, so you have to realize, and then you see, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're already free because the Son already set us free.
Right.
Been delivered, healed, made prosperous, you know, made whole, you know. Delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom, you know. So it's the done reality, but as it concerns manifestation, as far as, okay, in this life, in this time, the how you work this out, how you get this, how you see this in expression in your life is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Getting the done out into the open. I guess we'll flow from there next week. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Let's just stand. Praise God. Let's just rise at this time. If you are in need, if you have a need, you want to join in faith with someone, just to agree with conviction in your heart concerning that which is done already, which is yours already, which is rightfully yours. I love for you to just come forward at this time. Don't be bashful, and there's no condemnation. I believe so strongly that things have dropped off already this morning, as far as symptoms, as far as ailments, as far as pains. Regardless of how long they've been nixed, taken care of by the power of God, rendered null and void concerning you, obliterated. Now a thing of the past, and you walk free because you're free indeed. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, Lord, which rang out in power. Thank you, Father, for the hearts of these ones. Believing truth, accepting truth, and running with the truth. Choosing to live by it in conviction and seeing the marks in their lives, in their bodies, as they give praise, glory, honor, and thanks to you. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Back in time for service at 10:45. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Love you.